think is, at least I find fascinating, and something which can give us some good insight, hopefully, into the world around us and some things that we are already familiar with. We'll see, Be'ez Hashem, that we'll come across what I think is an interesting idea related to this week's Parsha, and also we'll come across an idea or two that are important for Chanukah. So it'll be a more general topic, but if we can connect it to Parshas Vayetze, if we can connect it also to some ideas about Chanukah, that's definitely worthwhile. Let me start like this. Undoubtedly, it's clear in Chazal that there's value towards bringing people closer to Ribono Shel Olam. We know that Rashi tells us in Chumash, Es HaNefesh Asher Asu B'charan, that Avraham and Sarah each went out, and they brought people, Tachas Kanfei HaShechina, they brought people towards a closer place with the Ribono Shel Olam. The Gemara Maseches Shabbos and Daf Nun Dalet tells us, Kol Misha Efshar Limchos La'Anshei Beisav Lomicha, Nitpas La'Anshei Beisav, Anshei Iro V'chulei V'cholim Kula. The Gemara tells in Shabbos that those who are able to minimize, in a certain sense, the sins that are going on in this world, so they have a responsibility to do so. And otherwise, so in a certain sense, they're held to be accountable. The idea of Kirov, the idea of bringing people closer, is something which the Rambam talks about a bit in Sefer HaMitzvos. It's part of the mitzvahs aseh, the positive command of Ahavas Hashem, of loving Hashem, is that just as I love Hashem, I want to help bring other people to also love Ribono Shel Olam. So says the Rambam, that's part of what a person's trying to do in this world by loving Hashem, is to help other people do the same. In source number 2, a letter of the Chavetz Chaim writes that in, just like in times of a war, many citizens are charged with going out to battle. There isn't really another option. So says the Chavetz Chaim, similarly, in times of spiritual challenges for Klal Yisrael, so all who have the capacity, all who have the ability, they are expected to, in whatever way they can, to help bring other people back, to help bring other people to be a bit closer. Despite the idea in general of Kiruv, or the idea in general of trying to just help Jews connect more to the Ribono Shel Olam, undoubtedly Chabad represents and seems to embrace a particular approach within that. The Chabad houses that are all over the world, some of the unique practices of Chabad Hasidim, the Shluchim of Chabad, the conference was yesterday, is that when it was? The thousands of people who are spread out all across the world trying to bring people back, it seems to be something a little bit more and a little bit, again, more than we were necessarily, that we had seen historically in the past. Not surprisingly, when new things come about, so there's often a good deal of opposition. Sometimes that opposition is explicit. Sometimes that opposition is a bit quieter, but it's done in a way in which you're clearly embracing a bit of a different mahalach. What I want to try to do tonight a little bit is to understand what Chabad is doing, why they're doing what they're doing, and then to be able to understand what is a bit of a different mahalach that came out of Rav Aaron Cutler in Lakewood, and how things Bizman Hazeh have shifted a little bit in a way which I think is interesting. So let's start like this. The first move that comes in Chabad Hasidus is to call people shluchim. That these people are shluchim of clarify in a second, but of the Rebbe, let's say, and these are people who are engaged in a particular task. The choice to call people as such, shlichim, is one that was intentional. I want to just give you the background to what's going on in Chabad Hasidus. It's not only about let's bring Jews closer to Ribono Shel Olam. There's a lot of thought that goes into how they do it, why they do it, and the manner in which they do it. So the first is like this. The choice of calling them shlichim is significant. The Babetz Rebbe in his Sichos often quoted the tshuva of the Rivash. That when the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, Shluchu Shel Adam Kemoso, that a person is like the Shliach is like the Mishaleach, the messenger is like the person who sent him, so the Rivas writes in Tshuvas, there on the sheet, source number 7, that Kemoso Mamish. That means literally just like the Shliach. What that's doing in the thought of Chabad, if you look in source number 8, it's a sefer called Torah HaShlichas. Torah HaShlichas is a sefer all about, it's a collection of Ma'amarim, Sichas of the Rebbe, all about the inyan of shlichas. In the beginning, there's a mavo, there's a bit of an introduction. I was not familiar with the sefer until my sweet and holy 2-year-old son woke up this morning at like 4:45, and then I don't know, I couldn't fall back asleep, so I had the opportunity to learn a little bit. So here he points out the following idea. Nosaf al, because kevan to shukhul shu adam kimoso, it's kimoso mamish, hare hanasi atwa nimsa b'chol makam u'makam. Whenever a shliach goes out, the way I view it, if I'm a chabadnik, is that wherever I am, I perceive myself as being a messenger of the Rebbe. Shlucho shel adam kemoso, kemoso mamish. That means that ki'il the Rebbe is with me the whole time there. That part of shlichas, it's a very, I'm not just independent, but I'm really entirely there with his presence. Now the Rebbe points out that shlichas in general does also require to be a shliach, you have to be a bardas. To be a shliach, you have to be able to think independently. So on the one hand, you're very much there with the Rebbe, ki'ilu, he's there with you. It's kemoso mamish, I'm his messenger, and therefore I feel a certain presence. And number two, I have to have a degree of independence, and I am a little bit of a bardas. The Mahalach itself, he points out, source number 9 on the sheet, one of the Rebbe's sichos, he points out that we have mekoros for ideas like this, as far as being shlichim of the Ribono Shel Olam. What makes it unique in Chabad, in the Friedeker Rebbe, we really got this going a little bit, was that we're doing this l'maisa. This is a l'maisa of Vodas Hashem imperative to send people out and for them to be shlichim. Now, why are we doing this? Why is this? Why are they doing this? Why weren't other? Well, what's unique about Chabad to send people out all over the world? You can always find a Chabad. What's the svara behind that? So one idea in Chabad Chassidus. So Rafi, why did the Ribono Shel Olam create the world? Have a dira betachtonim. This Avigdor Baruch Ribono Shel Olam wanted a dira betachtonim, whatever it is that means, a place to live down here with us. And our message and our goal in many ways is to be able to create a dira ro'i for Ribono Shel Olam in which all people are embracing Hashem. The Rebbe points out something interesting though, and this is the Parsha tie-in for Parshas Vayetze. He points out like this. It's in source number 10 there. It's an interesting insight behind part of it. It's not just that we're trying to create a dira betachtonim. There are insights here why Dafka post the Holocaust, this is going to become more of an issue, that maybe the response to the Holocaust, as far as bringing a certain geula, is to reach out to a wide range of people. But the Rebbe points out something very fascinating. One of the first shlichim that we have in Chumash is Yaakov Avinu, Parshas Vayetze. Because in the end of Parshas Toldos, Yaakov is a shliach of Yitzchak. Yitzchak sends Yaakov Avinu, he sends him out to Charan to Lavan. Ask the Lubavitcher Rebbe a very simple question. I don't get it. Why was it necessary to send Yaakov Avinu outside from Eretz Yisrael to go to Charan, to the house of Lavan, this terrible Russia? Why did it have to be this way? So on a level of pshat, maybe you would suggest, well, Esav wanted to kill him, but there are certainly other ways to go. For Chazal, he spent 14 years in Shane Ve'ever's house. Why was it so important that Yaakov went to Charan and went to Lavan? Weren't there other ways? Oh, he has to marry someone from there? So learn from Yitzchak, who stayed in Eretz Yisrael, stayed Be'eretz Megurei Aviv, in the land of his father, the Kadosh place of Yitzchak, and we're sending him out to Lavan. And life with Lavan is going to be complicated. And life with Lavan is going to be really hard. Because a life with Lavan, Lavan's trying to trick him. He's tricking him about who he's going to marry. He's trying to trick him and take advantage of him when it comes to work. So what exactly is going on here? So he suggests the following idea. Mishlichas Yaakov l'charad anu lemedim al mahus v'mashmaus ha-shlichas. We learn from this idea of Yitzchak sending Yaakov what shlichas is really all about. Shlichas, this represents a shlichas shel kol Yehudi. If a Jew thinks he's supposed to just stay, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, exactly Be'eretz Megurei Aviv, in the place where he was brought up, even if that place is a place of greater Kedusha, so I'll stay in that place. I'll stay in that place of Yitzchak Avinu of Eretz Yisrael. That's not what you're supposed to do. Gam im makom zeh makom zeh Kedusha, mutelis alav ashlichas lazovis makom leidatz of the Rebbe. Often, the purpose of shlichas is to leave the place that you were brought up in. You're up in Crown Heights? Go to Australia. Go to Japan. Go to China. That shlichas is often leaving your place. Bivchinas, Yaazov ish avives imo. And what's why is Yaakov going there? If Yaakov's the model we're learning from, Lahakim lo misham isha, Lahakim bayis bi Israel. Why did Yaakov go there? He went there to build a bayis. And a Jew can go outside to build a bayis, to have more to have more Jews. Not only that. When Yaakov does it, Kasher Shliach Nimtza, when he's found there in Malias Tuchuso, Misala Hashliach Madrega Nalis Yoser, he's now in a higher place. Yaakov's in a better place than he ever could have been when he stayed in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov is the Bechir Sheba Avos. Yaakov is the greatest of the Avos. Yaakov is the one who leaves Eretz Yisrael and goes to Charan. And when he goes there, what happens? He builds Klal Yisrael. He meets Rachel and Leah. He has his children there. The act of Shlichas is an act, number one, Dira b'tachtonim, let me spread out as much as possible, whatever way I can. I mean, again, there's a lot that we're not going to talk about, but I'm going to spread as much as possible. More room for Ribono Shel Olam to have a Dira with us, because we recognize Hashem's presence. You want to do so, says the Rebbe, often the limud from Yaakov Avinu. Vayetze Yaakov mi be'er Sheva, vayelech Harana. You got to leave the place that you were born, go somewhere else, build a home there, and you will be elevated as a result. It's a totally different world. That is the shlichas. That's the shlichas that we're striving for. For Chabad, part of what am I going to do when I'm a shliach there? This is an intriguing thing. Many people connected to Chabad, this is like a sociological article we'll get to a little bit later, don't self-identify as Chabadans. Many people daven in Chabad shuls, but if they had to check on a form, so what are you, they wouldn't say, I'm a Chabad. So you can have a guy sometimes who davens in a Chabad shul that's not sure how many days he keeps of Yantif, you know, one day or 2 days. He's a Chabad. You know, it's not always so clear. It's not always so clear exactly, you know, what's he gonna do. The Alter Rebbe held to keep one day, and sometimes it becomes, you know, a person struggles. I keep Chabad and Hagam, I don't keep them. It's not so simple. One of the insights of Chabad and how they're going to do this, we spoke about Chanukah time a couple of years ago, but I'll just give an insight now. This is in Shari Moedim and Chanukah. The Rebbe chose specific mitzvos he wanted people to do. He understood that the Pesach, towards bringing Jews back, specific mitzvos. Two of the most prominent are Neros Chanukah. That's why in Chabad Chasidus, a major emphasis on Neros Chanukah, they'll have these massive public candle lightings. They're going to take place. I'm sure many of us have seen them. If you haven't seen them, you know, I don't know, you'll see them on people with their cars. How about, you know, with these like massive like electric menorahs on top. You see it all over the place in Eretz Yisrael. And tefillin, mitzvah tefillin. If you go around to, I don't know, Ben Yehuda on a Friday, or you go to the Kotel, you'll see a Chabadnikim that are always there putting on tefillin. Why are those the mitzvahs that are chosen? It's not random. Beautiful insight of the Baba Tzur Rebbe. There's a lot more Torah about all of this stuff, but just to give some Roshei Prakim, the Rebbe pointed out that there's one thing that both those mitzvahs share in common. The vast majority of mitzvahs are mitzvahs that a person performs with their right hand. Your right hand, or the right side, that's often perceived as being more chashuv. Neiros Chanukah, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, is fulfilled on the left side. The left side. Why on the left side? Because mitzvahs are already on the right. Neiros Chanukah is fulfilled on the left side. Tefillin is also put on your left hand. On your left hand. We dafka want tefillin to be on your weaker hand. What the Rebbe understood, this is part of the insight of it, is that what we're trying, and where's Neiros Chanukah? It's on the left side to go after Rosh Hashanah. There are mitzvahs that are right-oriented mitzvahs. Those are mitzvahs from positions of strength. There are mitzvahs that are more left-oriented mitzvahs. Those mitzvahs are about giving chizuk to those who are weak, like the left hand, to give chizuk and to strengthen those that are, it's like your weak hand you put tefillin on. So the left mitzvahs are mitzvahs to be mechazik, those who struggle, those who are having difficulties, those who are very, very distant, not as strong as the right, but a bit weaker like the left. So I'm putting on tefillin because I'm trying to be mechazik the left. Jews who are far away are befchinas, the left. They're Jews who are not as strong in their religion, and tefillin's a way, it's a mitzvah that taps into strengthening that left. Neiros Chanukah is a mitzvah on the left side. What's Neiros Chanukah all about? It's in dark places, you can always light. In dark places where people feel distant, where people feel like there's a lack of clarity, where people feel like they have certain questions. So there can be a light there that can shed a little bit of insight. That's what Chabad's about. There's obviously a Geula component. Hopefully, maybe we'll speak about that a different week. But that's part of the Mahalach of the Torah of Chabad. Part of the Mahalach is about spreading a Dira B'tachtonim. Part of the Mahalach is about trying to have people be shlichim and shlichim that leave the comfort of their own homes, modeled after Yaakov Avinu. And part of the Maila is to be able to focus on specific mitzvahs. I think in 1941 there were two Jews that came to that came to America from Europe. One was the future Lubavitcher Rebbe, and the other was Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Aaron Cutler had a very, very different Mahalach. If you want an amazing historical aside, this is what Waxman told me this morning, which he then sent me an article about, and I saw it was quoted in a book also. Rav Waxman's grandfather, so one of his grandfathers is more well-known, Rav David Lifshitz, who was the Suvalka Rav and the Rosh Yeshiva in YU. Rav Waxman's other grandfather was Rav Nissen Waxman, who was the rabbi in Lakewood in the 1940s. Rav Nissen Waxman, this is Stam, just a fascinating, I find this like fascinating, if you don't, I don't know, I think you should. Rav Nissen Waxman was involved in getting visas, I believe, for the Free Adikar Rebbe, for the previous Rebbe, and also for the Lubavitcher Rebbe, I believe, and his wife, to come to America. I think that Pesach, maybe, I'm not going to detail, I'm going to try to read it all through. That Pesach, I think, the Free Adikar Rebbe, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, came to Nissen Waxman's house in Lakewood for Pesach to relax a bit and a bit of Hakar Sato for all he did. And Nissen Waxman tried to convince the Lubavitcher Rebbe to set up the center of Chabad Hasidus, not in Crown Heights, but in Lakewood. He chose Crown Heights. Rav Nissen Waxman was also a Talmud in Europe. He was connected to Rav Aaron Cutler. So he then was involved in pushing Rav Aaron Cutler to start, I mean, I would say Lakewood in Lakewood, obviously, Beis Medrash Gavoa, to start it in Lakewood. So that's sort of the connection a little bit. Rav Aaron Cutler had a very different Mahalach. For Rav Aaron Cutler, what we have to do post-Holocaust is not send people out, but keep people separate. The original vision of Lakewood, if you've been to Lakewood recently, I have this chus of going, I think pretty much whenever I'm in America, to visit my grandmother there. But if you have this chus, right now it's a massive town. At the time, it was a quiet place, and the goal of Aaron Cutler was to set up serious and rigorous Talmud Torah, and that's it. We're not going out for Kiruv. We're learning stark where we are. The Torah world was decimated by the Holocaust. For the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the way you fix it by sending people out to spread. For Aaron Cutler, the way you fix it is by building strong. By building strong. If you look here just at one sort of a shmooze that he gave that represents, I think, is indicative of his general Mahalach, in source number 4, Mr. B. Aronson, Chelik Aleph of his Ma'amar M'tichs Musar. The page is missing, and I apologize for that. I just forgot to add it. Kiyam ha'uma tali b'talmud Torah. It says Aaron Cutler, if you want to strengthen, you want the Jewish people to stay strong, it's all about Talmud Torah. He points out that Talmud Torah, like the chashivas of Talmud Torah, is part of what causes galus. So long as Jews were learning Torah well, could be that there wouldn't really have been the same kind of galus. He thinks forgetting Torah is an asan ha-yoser chamer l'klal Yisrael, yoser mikol harbanos v'gagolios. If Klal Yisrael would lose Torah, if you forget Torah, it's a greater tragedy than the Chorban, it's a greater tragedy than anything else. For Rav Aaron Cutler, kol Yisrael arevim, zeh bazeh, the notion of feeling connection to other Jews, so that's something which is important. But it doesn't necessitate me going out. Part of what it means is I have to strengthen the neshama of Klal Yisrael by learning very strong where I am. There in Osei. The best hatzala you could have for the entire nation, he chizak oalei Torah b'hem lom d'umamikim b'Torah. The best thing you can do for Klal Yisrael is don't not go out, but to stay where you are and to build a strong Torah community. A very different model. Reading facts on the ground, similar facts, but a different model in terms of what you're trying to. Shezoi achias avor ha'am kulo. Rigorous Talmud Torah, high-level Talmud Torah in a place tucked away in New Jersey where other people aren't. That's what's going to be mechazik Klal Yisrael. Why? Ki koha neshamos kshuros zo bazo. This is what strengthens Klal Yisrael. This is what brings Klal Yisrael together. Is that kind of Talmud Torah? Let me read it so far so I can shift to a little bit of like modern day sociology, which is just absolutely fascinating. Mamish fascinating. We have two different mehalchim. A mehalch of Chabad, a mehalch of Rav Kotler. Rav Kotler was not the biggest fan of the world of Lubavitch. And different mehalchim in terms of how you're going to react and what the goal really is. The Parshas Vayetze model, the Chanukah model, strengthening the left and spreading, or the rigorous Talmud Torah and the like. Professor Adam Furziger pointed out something which is absolutely fascinating, in an article he wrote called The Chabadization of Haredi Orthodoxy. He points out like this. It's working off of a line from, since we're in referencing the Waxmans, Dr. Chaim Waxman had written an article years ago called The Haredization of American Orthodoxy, so he's playing off of that. Professor Furziger pointed out the following idea. Things have changed. Many of us may be aware of the fact that through the world of Lakewood and through the world of yeshivish American Orthodoxy, they have community kollelim in Toronto, community kollelim in Chicago, community kollelim in Boston, in lots of places. So you have these communities that have set up kollelim. The model of Rav Aaron Cutler of just staying and everyone learning, so in Lakewood now, is starting to spread. And they're starting to spread in some of those community kollelim. We know that the world of Kiruv of non-Chabadnikim, people going out. So we know the world of Esh HaTorah and the world of Or Sameach, but even the world of Lakewood is involved and out there. These community kollelim are engaged in many ways in trying to spread things. In a certain sense, what ends up happening, the question of like, who won? So from a certain perspective, you say, end of the day, they're sending people out. End of the day, they're spreading in a certain sense. But Professor Furziger points out a couple fascinating chilukim between them. Number one, there is similarity. Again, it's a longer article, just to highlight a couple of points. There is similarity between Chabad and the community kollelim. It's all centered on locations. For Chabad, it's the Chabad house. For community kollelim, it's the kollel. Those kollels and the Chabad house has a lot of programming to try to reach out to people. But there are certain differences between them. And here's where you get the echoes of Rav Aaron Cutler still around. For Chabad house, a lot of what's going on is events, you know, like the Verbrengen type model of community social type events, getting people to do mitzvahs in line with Hadlakas Neros and Chanukah and Tefillin, and obviously Talmud Torah also, but a lot of sort of the emphasis of what originally came by from Chabad. The community kollelim have a different model. The mitzvah that they're going to have that ultimately is going to try and bring people back and to connect people with is not going to be, I'm not going out to get people to put on tefillin, and I'm not going out to get people to light Neros Chanukah. That's not my ikker emphasis. My ikker emphasis is Talmud Torah. We're a community kollel. In the community kollel, the members of the kollel are still going to learn a morning seder a lot of the time. A lot of the time, they're still going to be learning, and a lot of the work is going to be through one-on-one chavrusas in those kollel. If you're familiar with the metzias, it's a kollel which is reaching out, but by their strong inside of learning, and it's much more through Talmud Torah than it's anything else. Professor Furziger points out, if you want, Stam, like this is an interesting fact. Many people here probably come from communities like this. If you come from a community with a Torah Mitzion Kollel, or a YU community Kollel, you're from the world of Chicago or Montreal, Cleveland, etc. So in places like that, which is just fascinating, communities from the religious Zionist world and the modern Orthodox world, those Kollelim are not outreach Kollelim, by and large. By and large, those Kollelim are Kollelim focused on strengthening the community. The Montreal Torah Mitzion Kollel, Chicago is engaged in some kiruv. One of my very, very dear and close friend is now very much involved in kiruv there. But a lot of the emphasis is in-house. Rabbi Yaakov Danishevsky is one of my dearest friends. It's in-house, which is different. Part of what gave Lakewood the koach is that poster of Aaron Cutler, they were strong enough to then start branching out. Lakewood is massive. Some of these communities, suggest Professor Furziger, they're in survival mode. We want to strengthen to make sure that we're okay enough, and therefore it's going to be a little bit more internal. Let me just try and chazer and maybe add in one or two points. Yesterday was Kina Shluchim. The Chabad Shluchim from all over the world got together. It's a powerful thing to look at the pictures of just how many people there are who are involved in this. The world of Kirov, the world of spreading, goes all the way back to Avram Avinu, if not earlier. And Avram wanted to spread things. But in Chabad, there was a unique twist. The unique twist was one that was a lot of Yaakov being sent away from his home to spread. Babat Rebbe, Shlichim, creating a Dira B'tachtonim, trying to focus on those mitzvahs that you perceive as being very, very valuable, and you perceive as being uniquely significant. For Baron Cutler, the Mahalach is not about spreading out as much. Mahalach is about serious, rigorous Talmud Torah, internal focus, build. Now, there may have been a bit of a shift. We start having community colon, where people can start spreading, but it's from a position of strength. Lakewood is massive, and therefore it's from a position of strength that we can start spreading. We can start spreading a little bit. There are often many machloksim in Klal Yisrael. Looking at Yaakov Avinu, so for the Babat Rebbe, it's the Yaakov going out. For Varon Cutler, I would assume it's the Yaakov, the Ishtam Yoshev Oalim, who sits and is rigorous in the world of Olo Shal Shem and Olo Shal Eiver, that's where he's going to be. Or the Yaakov Avinu that knows before anything else, 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eiver, Vishkav Makomahu, and he's not sleeping anywhere else. That the legacy of Yaakov, we're looking at similar Makoros, and we have similar values. Be it if you're a Varon Cutler or you're Lubavitch Rebbe, you want Klal Yisrael to be strengthened. You want people to feel and to taste the beauty of different things. The beauty of Torah mitzvos. How you do it. The best way of doing it. You're going to have differences. Some of these are classic Hasidic versus Misna, you know, the pure just Talmud Torah, Talmud Torah, Talmud Torah. Or setting up like a Hasidic court that's taking place in a lot of the Chabad houses and things like that. Very different models. Obviously, all are learning and all believe in Chesed. But different points of emphasis that really are geared towards particular goals. Which element of Yaakov is going to be one of those? Is going to be one of those questions. As we are in the month of Kislev, in a time which is often in Torah Chassidus identified with a certain darkness, as the nights get longer and the nights get darker and it becomes colder outside and the like. So whatever the right solution is. So if it's the Neir Chanukah or the Neir Mitzvah V'Torah Or, whatever it is that has the capacity to give us light and to give warmth to all of Klal Yisrael, may we be zocha to experience all of that. May we be zocha to see with our own eyes, Ki Malah Haaretz Deya Es Hashem, that all are connected and all on some level feel a strong connection to Bono Shalom Shkayach. Have a great night.